from State Street in the heart of Chicago. You are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Waddle and Sylvie, Tyler Aki in for Sylvie today.
You looked at me and called me crazy for not taking the Charlie's projected trade.
The Viking hypothetical?
Yeah, the Viking hypothetical. And then we just did the math, and I guess the points add
the
up.
The points would say take the trade.
But I would say to you, with a young quarterback, I think the first year is going to be really important.
Yeah.
Master the obvious. Mm-hmm. So I would stay put in Charlie's hypothetical and draft, as you said, Malik mm-hmm. Nabers was there. Mm-hmm. I would draft him as opposed to trade the pick to the Vikings for 11 and 24. I think I'm in the minority there because I think Jack looked at me like I was crazy.
Well, even if you think about it, too, the way that the draft shakes out, you know what's going at 9, right? The 9 would be a quarterback. 10.
Right, if they traded for him.
10 is the Jets. In all likelihood, the Jets are taking an offensive lineman. So if you go to 11, the receiver would still probably be there.
Well, this is all fantasy because Malik Nabers is not going to be available.
We've spun ourselves silly with the whole thing. Let's bring in Courtney Cronin now. She joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Courtney, before we get to the football with you, congratulations to your Wildcats on a very nice overtime win over a team that was in the Final Four last year.
My God, and the officiating nearly cost them that game.
Yes.
Can you imagine had it gone down to, you know, if they don't hit that shot with a couple seconds left and tie it up, mm-hmm. or if the guy from FAU realizes how much time is on the clock and isn't pretending it's shoot around and just, you know, chucking up something, you know, my God, like situational awareness. But no, what an incredible win. They gutted that out. It's, you know, getting to jump on the Northwestern bandwagon the way I do just because of how psychotic my family's Northwestern fandom is.
Courtney.
It's fun. I love doing it because my team is nowhere close to the NCAA tournament.
And
so I, you know, hats off to the Wildcats. I hope that it's not a 74-32 game on Sunday when they play UConn, which is exactly, I've got the TV on now. That is the score of UConn versus Stetson, a real score in the NCAA tournament.
Well, not just that, Courtney, but we also get to root for one of our fellow Glenbrook South Titans, Nick Martinelli, with the Northwestern Wildcats as well.
Yeah, no, I'm pumped. I mean, this is, like, what a cool story for a team that, you know, loses Ty Berry, the injuries that they had to overcome, you know, pretty late in the season too, and to go back-to-back years to the NCAA tournament. They're undefeated in the first round, so, you know, hats off to them for that. Would love to see them take down UConn. Obviously that would mess up my bracket, but I'm here for the madness. This is why we watch these games in March and what makes them so exciting.
Courtney, I know you're a huge basketball fan, but I was asking the guys, I felt like I was walking into a frat house today when I came in. Jack's 22, Charlie's 24, Tyler's 25, and they were all sitting around the televisions watching the tournament. They, I believe, if you speak differently, if I'm not, you know, speaking correctly, mm-hmm. I think you guys feel this is the best time of the year.
Yes.
Do you believe that this stretch, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the first weekend of the tournament, is arguably the best time in the sports calendar?
See, people will debate that, like the four-day stretch of the opening weekend of the men's and women's NCAA tournament versus the divisional playoff weekend in the NFL. And I don't know, I mean, Masters weekend, of course, too, but I don't know if there is a better four-day stretch because you have games on from 11 a.m. till midnight, more or less.
Yeah.
And what is different about it this year, like, thanks to the leap year, we don't have free agency overlapping with the NCAA tournament. Like, in years past, I've been in media rooms waiting to talk to whichever team I was covering and their free agents coming in where you're keeping your eye on Princeton pulling off the 215 upset last year, but you're not really fully invested in it because you're working. So I love the fact that the conference tournaments overlapped with St. Patrick's Day, with the tail end of free agency, obviously the big trade with the Bears last week, but it's great now that you have your sole attention on these 4 days without the threat of any super major news, at least what we expect to happen.
This was fabulous for me. As again, the college basketball season for me doesn't start until the tournament tips off, same way the hockey season in the NHL doesn't start till the Stanley Cup playoffs begin. That's just me. That's how I consume each of those sports. But I was suffering. I'm not going to lie. I said to Tyler, I have suffered from some significant football fatigue. Maybe it's more Justin Fields and the Bears fatigue. So this happened at the right time. But obviously, we are going to delve right back into what you think about what happened this past weekend and the direction this Bears team is going.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, it was a weird week. It kind of feels like your body and your mind is put through a meat grinder, and then all of a sudden you're on the other side of it like, whoa, what happened? Right. Can you believe that was 6 days ago? You know, the last couple of days have been nice because it's been quiet, and I know that, you know, I read your comments in Kevin Fishbane's story in The Athletic were so spot on about what the last couple months were like, so I wanted to tell you that because it, you know, the way that was articulated and how we saw that come to, you know, such a pressure cooker and boiling point last week with the fan base on social media when you see so much quarterback movement and the Bears don't get involved and then they do get involved and you see the return and what that says about how the league views Justin Fields. Nationally, at least with the radio interviews I've done the last couple of days, I think people now are starting to see what we've been talking about in Chicago the last 4 or 5 months and how polarizing a topic it was and is, it remains. And now how the goalposts are moving to the people who believe that Caleb Williams has to come in and, you know, be the second coming of Jesus Christ when he takes the field for the Bears next year. And I just, it's wild that now that we have college basketball injected into that, where you have right. something else to focus on, maybe that's like muted a little bit of the discourse on social media. I've been happy about it because I haven't had my mentions get blown up in the last couple of days for saying anything about the Bears quarterback situation. So it has been a nice welcome change.
It has. And look, I think that when some of this dies down, and I've already felt it, despite having somewhat, you know, centralized or localized football fatigue, but there is a level of excitement in me as a Bears fan that really hasn't been there for quite some time. And it's not a guarantee, Courtney, that I feel that Caleb Williams is going to be a superstar. It's that I'm tired of what the Bears have been. They haven't won a playoff game since January of 2011. They haven't had consecutive winning seasons since 05 and 06. For me, I'm fine pivoting and going in a different direction. And I think Ryan Poles has done a nice job putting some infrastructure there. So I know we're a long ways away from the season kicking off. We're even a long ways away from the draft occurring. But there seems to be, at least I think with some people I talk to, kind of a renewed optimism or a little bit of excitement about the direction this team is headed.
I think it stems from, first and foremost, a weight being lifted off the proverbial shoulder of this fan base and of this franchise. Like, they got the major hurdle out of the way, so we're not guessing every single day leading into the draft. Are they going to trade Justin Fields now? Is it possible that Justin and a new quarterback are on the same roster for X number of days, of weeks, of months? Like, that out of the way then gives the Bears a clear path, a clear direction towards what they want to be in 2024 and beyond. And if they get this right, that's the quarterback, hopefully for them, for the next 10 to 15 years. But you had to do the hard part first to rip the Band-Aid off, which, when you take a look at the trade, you know, trades in year one, draft picks in the year that you do the trade are worth more than what happens in the following year. So, of course, people are going to look at that and say, well, maybe they didn't get the best return. Doing right by Justin may have cost the franchise, whatever the opinion is. The Band-Aid has been ripped off, though. So you're not putting the franchise, the decision makers, the city of Chicago through another long wait game to see what they're going to do. And that, you know, to me, people I've talked with inside the organization and around the team, there does seem to be the sense of, okay, the hard part's out of the way. Because that's not easy to trade Justin Fields. In any other year, if they have the 9th overall pick, Fields is the quarterback of this team in 2024. Maybe they would have drafted a quarterback at 9 had that been their only first rounder. But it wasn't. And I do wonder what this what the conversation around Ryan Poles, around Matt Eberflus would have been like if they would have had enough time to see their vision through, had they not gotten the number one overall pick in back-to-back years and been put in this incredibly advantageous situation that they're taking advantage of. And the other reason I look at that, you know, that refreshed sense, okay, like there is excitement now around the team, is because they didn't complicate matters. They didn't overthink this and go the route of, well, let's just give Justin a little bit more time. They didn't have time, first and foremost, but they didn't. They did the most obvious thing, which for a lot of NFL teams, Bears included, sometimes the most obvious thing is the thing that teams complicate the most. They didn't do that here. They did what they were supposed to do, not in the eyes of the people who believe in Justin Fields and think this is a mistake, but in the eyes of everybody else who see this rationally for what it is, and it was an opportunity cost that they could not pass up.
Courtney Cronin with us here. It's Waddle and Sylvie. You brought up the doing right by Justin and kind of allowing him to pick the better scenario for him in his next venture there. You had a great article on ESPN.com as well about sort of the doing right by Justin and there being other offers on the table for the Bears. Was there a significant difference, or at least a difference enough where Bears fans may be upset at maybe some of the other returns that they could have gotten in exchange for Justin Fields?
I don't think it was anything so exorbitantly different that it's, you know, that's the matter of someone's job. If they, let's say hypothetically, right, that they gave up a pick that would have helped them this year and would have been a very high pick, that's not the right cost of doing business. Ryan Poles and what he said about doing right by Justin is one thing, but what the Bears were looking for was something similar to the Sam Darnold, what the Jets got for Sam Darnold, which was a sixth that year in 2021 and then two future picks in 2022, which ended up being a second and a fourth. Had they gotten what they wanted, which I have been told was a day two pick, doesn't mean second round pick, it means day two pick, that's second or third round, and then something next year in the late rounds that could be kind of conditional, like what we saw, like, you know, a sixth that could become a fourth based on playing time. If they got that, they would have moved him. So, yeah, in my reporting, there's one other offer from a team that came in that might have been a little bit better for the Bears. And maybe it was something in the seventh round this year. Maybe it was something that had more of an immediate impact, even though a lot of those picks, you know, that you, anything in the seventh round, you're just trying to save yourself from bidding on college free agents, which is a smart strategy that's used by a lot of teams. Minnesota used to do that when I covered them. And Ryan Poles, I mean, he's a college scout at heart. Like, that's the right play for how you handle the sixth and seventh round taking flyers on guys. But nonetheless, you know, the pick that they took on the trade that they accepted for Justin Fields to get him off the roster, to do right by him, to try to create some goodwill there and not leave things on bad terms. I know that there's going to be some portion of the fan base that believes that there was an offer that was so enormously different from what they took. But I promise you, that's not the case. And anything that's out there, they never asked for a first-round pick on him. They never asked for a second-round pick on him. The rumor out there and the conjecture was that, oh, it's a second-round pick. They're not budging off that. It was a day-two pick. So it's not like you're asking for pick number 40 back from Washington or something in that range. It was much more reasonable. But when the price isn't met, you have to be realistic, and you can't be so dug in that you're only taking your price, because everybody else called their bluff initially and they were going to continue to do that. And the Bears would never have been able to, unless something catastrophic happened elsewhere in the league, which is too high of a gamble to take. Like, you're never going to be able to project the Sam Bradford to Minnesota deal in 2016, where, you know, Minnesota is a week before the season. They had to go get a quarterback. They could not go with Sean Hill as their starter that year, but that's such a hard gamble. And one that I just don't think would have been right for a lot of different reasons for the Bears to hope would come to fruition so they could have moved Justin Fields at a later date.
Before we put this behind us and move forward and talk about maybe what they'll do at 9 and some other things, if you look back with the benefit of hindsight, Courtney, what do you believe was the most maybe this is too strong a statement, but the most ridiculous or unbelievable assumption that existed out there by people as they tried to project what the Bears were going to do at the quarterback position. Was it that they were going to go to camp with both guys? Was it that they were going to keep Justin and trade the first overall pick for the Hall? What was the thing with the benefit of hindsight that you thought was just kind of the most outrageous conclusion that people continued to come to?
Some of the offers that were out there, at least the projected offers, what fans would put out there. I saw one on Saturday of last week that was so absurd that the Vikings would be willing to trade Justin Jefferson to Chicago in exchange for, like, and a pick too, in exchange for Justin Fields and, you know, a future first. That Fields would have been like the focal point of that trade package. It would have been the most lopsided trade in history. And that's also the team that pulled off the Herschel Walker trade. So let's not forget that. And people overvaluing how the league felt about Justin Fields. That, you know, is kind of the overview of it. I remember, what was it, a month ago, Schefter was on the show.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, you know, Justin, you know, he believed that there's around the league that people were talking about Justin for a first. Look at what he went for. Right. And that's not that's not the byproduct solely of a depressed market. That's the byproduct of teams looking at Chicago, looking at what they believe Chicago is going to do. The Bears were going to draft a quarterback. The opportunity cost, I've said this like 6,000 times, and I keep saying it, and people don't listen. This is the first team in the common draft era in almost 70 years to have the first overall pick in back-to-back years, the year after trading it. That never happens. If you would have just punted on that, that it's unconscionable to think about what that would have been. So that's probably the logic there used by some people to go, like you were saying, Waddle, like trade the pick for the Hall.
Yeah.
As good as that may have sounded at one point, it was a completely different set of circumstances than last year. They don't give up on quarterbacks here in Chicago after 2 years. I mean, they did it again with Cade McNown. That was the last one that was like the shortest leash for a first-round quarterback. They didn't last year, and there was a reason for it, but it doesn't mean that last year's situation was a complete parallel to this year with how the season turned out last year, what the roster looked like, and all of those things. And yeah. I think one thing that I would like to continue to reinforce with people who have looked at this and said, well, they did Justin Fields dirty. They handled this thing so poorly. And, of course, there's the Robert Griffin thing that came out. You know, his take and then which he softened on it. And I think there's a lot of truth in that video of what he said. But let's not forget that Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus were put in a situation where they had to do what they did. Had they not torn down the roster in 2022, I don't think they're at this spot right now. Certainly not from a salary cap perspective. People forget to, you know, put all of those factors into the overall equation of why Justin didn't have weapons around him, why he was put in a situation where he had to play with one hand proverbially tied behind his back. Sometimes life isn't fair.
Right.
Sometimes situations really suck.
Yep.
And you know what? Sometimes it's just the product of bad timing and ships passing. That is what this was with Justin Fields. And, you know, really, really good quarterbacks you don't have any questions on, can find moments where they rise above those things. That was too few and far between for Fields and the Bears, and that's ultimately, despite, like, I honestly believe Poles and Eberflus, when they said those really glowing remarks about Fields and how they felt he showed tremendous growth, like, two things can be true in all of that, but that's true, but that the opportunity cost was one that they looked at themselves very realistically and said, we cannot pass up on that.
Well said.
Courtney Cronin with us here on ESPN 1000. It's Waddle and Sylvie. So kind of pushing forward and turning the page on Justin, it seems like all signals are pointing to Caleb Williams being the next quarterback of the Chicago Bears. And I know a lot of people now are on to, well, what are realistic expectations for the Bears with Caleb Williams as their quarterback? I do want to throw one hypothetical at you that I've given Waddle. I've given a couple other people as well. Caleb Williams is going to be the favorite to win Rookie of the Year next season. If he is the Rookie of the Year next season, what is a realistic outlook for the Chicago Bears?
10 wins, probably. If that plays out, then you're asking me, like, you know, what would you guess the record would be if he is Rookie of the Year?
Mm-hmm.
9 or 10 wins. I'll like soften it just a little bit, but no, you have to be a wild card team at the very bare minimum. That would be just kind of like following the Houston model. And this roster, as it looks today, is better than what Houston's looked like when they were bringing C.J. Stroud into the building. We didn't even know at that point last year. Was Davis Mills going to be the starter until they were ready to turn it loose to Caleb Williams? No. Or, excuse me, to C.J. Stroud? Like, no. But there's no fail-safe for the Bears right now in terms of a quarterback. I do believe that they will bring in a real veteran quarterback. Nothing against Brett Rippon, but somebody who has real experience in the NFL starting games, because you have to have better infrastructure in that quarterback room than they currently have.
Yeah.
But this is Caleb Williams' job from day one. And I know that people who are still upset over how this thing went down have changed the expectations to make it infinitely harder on a quarterback coming in. And I don't think that that's fair. I think Bears fans will be Bears fans regardless of who the quarterback is. I've already seen, you know, some of the bait and switch that's happened since the trade went down. But I just don't think that that's the right play when somebody – like, he's not – Justin's not coming back. So to – and that's fine because he can go start his career over in a different place that has different infrastructure and might give him the chance that he needs. It's a chance that's just not going to be in Chicago. So for the people who are still – holding on to some bitterness there, I don't think it does anybody any good to let that bitterness lead to unrealistic expectations for a rookie quarterback when, by and large, rookie quarterbacks often have seasons where, A, they get hurt, like Anthony Richardson, or B, they're on really bad teams like Bryce Young. See, Caleb Williams isn't coming into a really bad team. He's not undersized like Bryce Young was, and the offensive line here is vastly in a more improved state than it was in Carolina. So that should mean he has a better chance for success from an earlier part of his career than some of the other quarterbacks, but that does not mean he's going to come in and light up the league necessarily. The anomaly was C.J. Stroud, and that will continue to be the trend more than becoming the norm from here on out. I firmly believe that, and I think it's okay if a rookie quarterback has struggles, because he has a higher ceiling as a pro, and they get to restart the clock over on the rookie contract and try to win with him when he's less expensive than his potential has him set up to be, if all goes well for him.
Courtney, it's hard to project what will happen, you know, after 1 and 2-9. So just, I mean, how do you expect the Bears to handle the number 9 overall selection? What do you expect them to do? Are they hunting for a receiver? Are they looking for an offensive tackle? Are they okay with a number of positions? What do you expect them to do with that pick?
I think if they could, they would trade back, because, you know, you have 4 picks right now. There's a lot of time that seems to go by very slow when you're sitting there on the clock and you don't have picks, and you go from 9 to 75. That's brutal. But obviously, I think that, you know, all of that said, you take a look at what their draft picks were this year, and then realize that the second round pick is Montez Sweat, the fourth round pick is Keenan Allen, and, you know, I know there was a N'Keal Harry pick in there for the seventh round or whatever. Like, I think they're okay with the position that they're in right now, only having 4 picks because of other additions that they've made on the roster, but I do think if it's a perfect world, and if Ryan Poles could look at that right now and say, I want to trade back, I want to try to get a second rounder, I want to try to recoup a little bit of draft capital, that they would do that. Because if we truly expect, which I don't know if I buy, but if we truly expect 1 through 4 to be quarterbacks off the board, like I said this on with Cap and Hoodie this morning, please take a look at where Monty Osenfort comes from. Please take a look at the fact that he was part of a front office that never traded back when Bill Belichick was the head coach in the first round. People are often set up to make their own decisions based on the infrastructure that they were raised in. I'm not sure that they're going to trade out of that pick if they really want Marvin Harrison Jr. So how the receivers come off the board is going to affect what the Bears do at 9. And also the teams that try to move up. Maybe it's not Minnesota. Maybe it's not the Raiders, because if they want to get their quarterback, they're going to try to get up within the top 6 to get ahead of New York at least. But if there is an opportunity for a team to come up to 9 to allow the Bears to move back to later in the first round to either handle somewhere in the trenches, whether it's defensive end or on the offensive line, then they could possibly recoup something that would allow them to, you know, get into that second tier of receiver group, because they need depth. They've got their two starters. Pretty obvious who, you know, where the targets are going between DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. But Matt Eberflus said at the combine, when I asked him, the biggest issue with that room is depth. So go get a high ceiling receiver who doesn't necessarily need to star right away, but can contribute in a situational role. Maybe he's your third down guy. Maybe he's somebody that you utilize in the slot or is a deep threat. And that can be found beyond the first round, so they wouldn't have to necessarily be locked into, you know, taking Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze if either of those guys are there.
Courtney, real quick on Keenan Allen, too. Obviously, there was the report that came out about he turned down an extension from the Chargers. How many years do you think Keenan Allen will be a Bear, and do you think they maybe get something longer-term done here?
I mean, he's 32. He has had injury history the last 2 years, but that hasn't stopped him from being so productive. And I know Justin Herbert was in year four last season and got the contract extension, but the amount of targets that went Keenan Allen's way for a young quarterback, like, that's a security blanket. So that's the reason that they did it. They saw the upside of adding someone who has made his quarterbacks better, but also knowing realistically, once you get on the other side of 32 and you have injuries that happen below your waist, you're going to slow down. Inevitably, that will happen with Keenan Allen at some point. Now, did they make this trade expecting that it would be a short-term rental? I don't believe that to be the case. But a two-year, three-year extension, I think that that's probably the most it would be, because he'd be 35 by the time that ends. And, I mean, unless there's going to be a bunch of Larry Fitzgeralds popping up everywhere, we know realistically that players don't have incredibly successful seasons after age 32. And you throw out the Jerry Rice outlier, because that's not the norm. We haven't seen guys produce past 32. Now, I do think that Keenan Allen will produce this year in this role, in this offense, but it's more of a short-term gain to set up the long-term success, but I don't think it's going to be a very, very long contract extension for him.
Courtney, thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Enjoy the tournament.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
It's Courtney Cronin on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
We have Waddle's World coming up, but to start Waddle's World, I think it's an interesting conversation. I agree with her about a more accomplished veteran quarterback on this roster. I think it's slim pickings. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can go through a potential list of guys that they could pursue to be part of this roster in 2024.
We'll do all that when we come back in Waddle's World.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Waddle and Sylvie are back on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Get weird. Weird.
Let's get weird.
Yeah, let's get weird. Welcome into Waddle's World. I'll ask you a weird question to get started. How do you sleep? I ask all three of you. Jackson today, the char dog. You call him the char dog. I call him the Chuck Wagon.
Tomato, tomato.
Tyler's in for Sylvie. So I ask the three of you, how do you sleep? And I'm not asking, you can answer it however you want. Like, you could tell me how long you sleep, but I'm saying, in what position do you sleep?
I usually try to sleep on my left shoulder.
That's where I'm at, too. Left shoulder or right shoulder.
Left shoulder.
Left shoulder.
I'm usually on my side, but I often end up on my stomach, funny enough.
I knew that if of the three, I sleep either on my back or on my side. Both of my shoulders suck, so I usually just sleep on my back with pillows propped up. I'm an uncomfortable sleeper. But it is an interesting article, I'm not surprised, because I don't know how anybody sleeps on their stomach. But anyway, Charlie, listen.
Usually has a lot of drool coming out, too.
Right. Usually you've had too much to drink.
Yeah.
People who sleep on their stomachs are more prone to various health issues. Experts told the Mirror, a publication in London. And one of the biggest complaints among people who sleep on their front is lower back pain. If you already have neck and back problems, sleeping in this position is almost a guarantee to make them worse. Stomach sleeping can also make it more difficult to breathe.
Makes sense.
Additionally, sleeping on your stomach can put stress on your heart, Charlie. By pressing on your chest, you make it harder for blood to circulate. Over time, this increases the risk of cardio issues, especially if you already have problems. If you struggle to breathe deeply, it can lead to higher blood pressure.
This may be a am I stupid question for you here.
Okay.
Why is putting pressure on your chest versus your back impacting your heart?
That would be a question that a doctor would probably be most
equipped
to.
Wouldn't you have your rib cage protecting on either side?
I don't know.
I feel like you put the same amount
of
pressure.
Is your heart closer to the front than it is to your back?
But I can't, like, there's not a lot of
You would just think about it. If you're laying face down versus on your back, don't you think you have a harder time at times breathing?
Breathing I get.
Right.
Breathing I get. But on your back, for the heart, I don't understand.
I feel like the rib cage is weaker than your back. For me, like, can't you when you press it, don't ribs break easier than a back if you get hit?
But Waddle, doesn't your rib cage shape
versus
all
in the back?
Doesn't your rib cage shape all around your?
Yes, it's
oh, it goes front all
back. You got like a back
sternum
rib cage.
Is flexible.
Timeout. Jack,
did you not know?
Those are your ribs.
You ever seen a skeleton before, Jack? You ever celebrate Halloween?
Jack, where the hell did you go to school? You went to Missouri. Get your money back. Your ribs are not just in the front; they're in the back too.
I don't think this is
skinnier in the front. They're weaker in the front.
Where'd you go to high school?
Oh man,
where'd you go to high school, Jack? I think this is more an indictment on your high school biology teacher than anyone else.
Jack did not know that you had ribs in the back. Jack, come on, take your hands. And put them up.
Do the Macarena.
Just. Dude, how do you do the Macarena? Like,
it's,
No, don't do the Macarena. Take your hands. Okay, in the front, Jack. Mm-hmm. Feel your ribs in the front, right?
Okay.
Take them, feel them in the back.
Frontal rib.
They go around the back. Are you Googling ribs now?
No, he's moving the Twitch cameras around.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I do have one thing. So my back hurts like all the time.
I would expect this conversation with Charlie, not with Jack.
And I have high blood pressure and heart disease. It runs in my family. I don't have it. It runs in my family, though.
You just said I have heart disease and blood pressure.
I meant to say I have it running in my family. Yeah.
Don't sleep on your stomach, Charlie.
I broke those. A lot of times, like, I try to fall asleep on my side, but I always end up kind of like in a weird middle state between my stomach and side.
Charlie, how often do you fall out of the bed?
It's been a while.
Depends on if he's on the top bunk or the lower bunk.
I used to fall a lot. It used to be a big issue.
Did you have the rail?
Yeah. They put the rail in on my bed.
You had one side of the bed pressed against the wall. The other side got the rail.
Yes, that's exactly how it was set up.
Jack, what else you got? What other revelations do you have
Welcome
for us
the,
that you
listen,
didn't know?
You said I'm stepping into the frat house
I would
today.
Expect
that was a frat
every,
house question.
I would expect of all the producers, Jack would have gotten that one right.
Me too. Like, how in the world does that escape the education process? That Jack doesn't know your ribs go around in the back.
Charlie's right. I would have picked Jack. If we were to have, like, a science fair, Jack would win among all the producers.
I think you need to rethink that right now. I think Jack has forced you to rethink that.
He's more of a baking soda volcano guy than he is a skeleton guy.
One of those.
I still don't understand how that counts as a science project. Feels like you're just following
He's
an instruction.
He's more of a mousetrap car type of guy than a skeleton guy.
I'm flabbergasted. I really am. That Jack didn't know your ribs went all the way around. Anyway, did you guys see the story about Jim Harbaugh having a yard sale?
Yes, I did.
At his home in Ann Arbor. Photos of a garage sale outside of Jim Harbaugh's former house in Ann Arbor surfaced this week. The sale offered a deal called Fit Everything You Can Into a Bag for just $20. Among the items up for sale were Harbaugh's sewing machine, khakis, espionage devices, and an extensive collection of snow gloves that quickly sold out.
Wait, did you say espionage devices?
Yeah, that's
is that a joke?
For fun, yeah.
Okay.
But
various
honestly,
fake IDs.
Honestly,
some mustache and glasses.
Did you see that? I think it's hilarious. I really do believe that it is hilarious that Jim Harbaugh would have a yard sale.
The picture of it is great because you see people wandering around and it's mostly like household items. And then you look on the clothing racks and you see like a few sparse Michigan t-shirts that are on there as well.
I would go there and I would shop there.
Oh, yeah. All you can fit in the bag for $20. There's probably some good stuff there.
I think that was somebody being funny.
Oh, was that?
Imagine pulling up to the big house and you're like, oh, these khakis? These are Jim Harbaugh's khakis.
Yeah.
You can probably, you'll probably get some real Michigan weirdos at that thing, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Can I get some underwear?
Yeah. Can I sniff some khaki?
Yeah. That's gross.
Yeah. That's why they're weirdos, yeah.
And speaking of sniff, kids are sniffing this pantry staple to get high right under their parents' noses.
This pantry staple.
A Georgia mom whipped up a fragrant frenzy on social media this week after warning parents in a now viral video that their teens have found a peculiar new way to get high by sniffing nutmeg. Did you know about this, Charlie?
I didn't, but I found this article and I was very fascinated by it.
So nutmeg gets you high.
I did not know that that was the case.
Imagine being at a party and somebody's like, "I got the nutmeg, guys. Let's go party."
Nutmeg.
Did you used to do like whippets and
whippets? Yeah. No.
What?
I would do like a smelling salt every once in a while, but.
Welcome to the frat house.
That's not living right there. Sniffing a
do some smelling salts and listen to the boys are back. It's a
Jack,
great Friday night.
When you're getting crazy at Mizzou, what are you doing?
Ever hear of the cinnamon challenge?
No. What is the cinnamon challenge?
Similar to the nutmeg. You sniff. You try to inhale cinnamon.
That one doesn't. That doesn't get you high. That just injures you.
That will
choke you out.
Yeah. It's a thing on the internet. People inhale cinnamon. Used to be a thing.
Well, you try to swallow a spoonful of cinnamon. I tried it in middle school, and it didn't go great. But
that was, that was a dark point for the internet.
You ever tried the milk gallon challenge?
No.
No, that's...
Apparently, the human body can't drink a gallon of milk in 1 hour.
Like, you'll throw it up.
Really?
Yeah, because you'll throw
you
it
can't
all, like...
handle it.
And it's going to be violent. Too, the way it comes back out the other
have,
side.
Have any of your frat brothers ever tried it?
Well, I wasn't in a fraternity, but...
Any of your friends
tried
it?
Any of my friends? I don't think I have any friends that have tried the milk. Was it the milk gallon challenge? Is that what it was formerly known as?
I thought so.
I don't think I have had any friends try that one, no. Okay. Don't try that at home.
Charlie, do you guys do anything?
I always thought I could pull it off. I didn't realize your body
is incapable of
that.
We're not out of here till 6:30. Yeah, you want to try?
There's a Walgreens across the street.
Drink a gallon.
Try?
So do you have to chug it, or do you just have to drink the gallon of milk in an hour?
I'm trying to remember the...
I don't think you have to chug it, right? You just have to drink the entire gallon in an hour?
I think you just have to finish the gallon of milk in an hour.
I think that's
right.
Right,
Jack?
I think so.
Yeah.
I've never tried it, so I wouldn't know. Also, note at home, don't try these. These are...
Do not try these.
Don't
this
try
is like
the cinnamon one. Don't try the
gallon.
Yeah,
I'm going to take medical advice from a guy who didn't know my ribs went all the way around my back. Come on, Jack.
Cinnamon challenge is a rough time.
Well, I don't get the cinnamon challenge. What was the cinnamon challenge?
You would take a spoonful and you would try to swallow it.
You can't do it.
It's impossible because it's so powdery.
It's the same thing as like the you have to eat a whole sleeve of saltines or whatever that was. Like eventually it just dries out your
entire
mouth. Driving from the northern suburbs to work, I would regularly eat a sleeve of saltines.
It's like five saltines in 20 seconds or something.
It's something like that. Yeah, you can't do it. Like your body's not made to intake that. So,
refined carbs make us less attractive within hours, a new study says. How about that? Refined carbohydrates that have been highly processed in ways that typically remove much of their nutritional value account for roughly 42% of our daily calorie consumption in the U.S.
So these are like the bad carbs that
these low-quality carbs have been associated.
Danny Zetterman would say every carb's a bad carb.
They sound pretty good, though, if they're refined. That's just my 2 cents.
That's not the way it works, Charlie.
These are the most perfect carbs. They're refined.
It's crazy. All right, there's really not a lot going on other than, there's no update on Shohei. We can have that conversation a little bit later, but I don't believe that there's anything new on that story.
A little attorney update here?
Why don't you give us a little bit of attorney update?
All right, Clemson crushed New Mexico today. UConn crushed Stetson today. Marquette, second half run, crushed Western Kentucky today. A lot of blowouts today. Baylor crushed Colgate. San Diego State beat UAB 69-65. That was a good game. And then the local one, Northwestern, a 12-point win in overtime over a reigning Final Four team in FAU. And then the game's going on right now. Auburn's up by 7 over Yale at the half. And Colorado and Florida are tied at 45.
Vermont and Duke tips off at 6:10. I know who you're rooting for. Mm-hmm. Do you have a play on Vermont in that game?
I don't.
No.
I know Shea does.
And that's just an emotional play.
No, I don't think that's an emotional play for him. He doesn't hate Duke like I do.
I don't
even know if he hates Duke, to be honest.
Okay.
He might hate Michigan State more this year than he hates Duke.
Yeah, probably. I don't have a play on this Vermont and Duke game at all.
What's your strongest play of the first 4 days of the tournament?
You're saying of, like, I guess what's left for today?
Yeah.
I would say I would take Charleston in the points tonight. Charleston plus the 9.5.
Who are they playing?
They're playing Alabama.
Okay.
I think that's an upset candidate as well.
Who's in your Final Four?
My Final Four is Auburn, UNC, Houston, and Creighton.
All right.
So the Final Four right now, knock on wood, is still intact.
Excellent. All right. Time to take a break. When we come back, we'll do a little something we like to do on Fridays. It's called Florida or Ohio. So buckle up.
Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago. Chicago. Listen to us now live on the ESPN Chicago app. Listen to the show in HD at 100.3 HD2 FM. Listen now on ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie, ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
I just said to Tyler, I said, let's see how demented Jack is. This is Jack's first spin. Is Florida or Ohio?
Is this your first one?
This is my first one.
Okay.
First one, all right.
Yeah. Put your toe in the water.
Yeah. Let's see how dark he's going to get today.
By the way, Jack just sent me an article about, I believe there is, they're doing a Happy Gilmore 2. Adam Sandler is working on Happy Gilmore 2. You didn't see Happy Gilmore, the first one.
Yeah, I've seen the first one, yeah. I'll pass on number two.
I was just going to say, this one sounds like it could really venture into the world of disappointing sequels. But anyway.
Yeah.
Florida, Ohio to you, Jack.
Shooter McGavin on Live Golf.
Yeah.
Shooter McGavin defects.
All right. That's horrible.
First off, Florida or Ohio is brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with contractors from finishingchicago.com. Here's the headline. Father arrested for calling police more than a dozen times over son's homework. Father was arrested after repeatedly calling son's elementary school to complain about his homework. According to a police report obtained by The Independent, this father was arrested by officials from Blank Police Department after he called approximately 18 or 19 times to the police station in less than an hour because his son gets homework, which takes away from the time he has with him after school.
Oxford, Ohio.
Yeah, I'll go with the douche capital of the Mac, Oxford, Ohio.
I saw this already, so I'm gonna sit it out.
So did we?
Oh no,
we had this one yesterday.
Yeah. This was yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh no,
but I got it. I said Cincinnati, which is only 41 miles away from Oxford.
You're closest to the pin, right?
Yeah,
I was closest
to the pin.
Well,
all good, Jack. Huh? All good.
That's all right.
It happens.
Yeah,
I feel like Jake
I've done it like twice.
I did it before. It happens. I feel like that is a rite of passage for being the Florida or Ohio.
Yes, there's not a problem with that at all. No problem.
Well, you were right. So
it was Oxford, Ohio.
It was Oxford, Ohio.
Jack, also give me a story today, or maybe it was Charlie. Scientists named newly discovered ancient amphibian species after Kermit the Frog. So now there's an official Kermit the Frog species out there.
You know,
does that excite you?
You have a good Kermit impression?
I do not.
Charlie's been singing all day. He's been singing like old Muppet songs all day now.
Uh-huh.
So.
Is there anything else that you'd like to sing to us, Charlie?
Not really.
No?
But
you good?
I can do Kermit.
Do us some Kermit.
Yeah, give us a little Kermit.
Give us a little Kermit.
What you got?
Florida or Ohio is brought to you by Finishing Chicago.
You just sound like Charlie. You don't sound like Kermit. You just sound like Charlie.
This is a great Kermit.
That's not even like...
I'm riding my bike.
This is not even like an imitation, is it?
That sounds like...
Hello, Miss Piggy. Is that close?
That
no.
sounds like what, like an impersonation of Will Ferrell trying to do Kermit the Frog. Like, I got a good whiff of You're My Boy Blue right there in your first...
You're My Boy Blue.
That's bad.
That's...
Yeah.
This is like a glass-shattering moment. I've been going through like 10 years of my life thinking I got a great Kermit.
Don't put that one on stage yet.
No, I was just going to say, we're going to do Chucky's C-list at the top of the hour.
Chuck's in charge.
Why don't we get away from him right now and take Perry's phone call instead before we go to the break?
Perry's in Humboldt Park. What's up, Perry?
Perry! Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah,
we got you.
Hi, okay. I wanted to go back to the segment with Courtney. Because I'm here driving to Colorado because I'm a truck driver, and she says that we can't expect high expectations from Caleb Williams because it's his first year. Well, didn't she just say that what Justin Fields went through is well, life's not fair? Well, I'm sorry. I want generational stats. I don't care. Life's not fair. If you're going to come in, everybody's saying that he's the generational guy, he's the best prospect in 30 years. Well, I want my generational stats. Sorry.
That's fine.
I'm not taking no excuse.
Yeah. I mean, like, your expectation level. I don't subscribe to the generational label. I mean, some people are comfortable with it. I'm not. I think that there will be good moments. There will be some bad moments. My expectation level is high. Like, I'm not going to sit and make excuses for Caleb Williams if he is doing things that I expect him not to do. I think that the infrastructure for him is significantly better than what Justin had to deal with in his first and second year. So, look, I think it's unrealistic to think that he's going to go out there. C.J. Stroud had a historic season for a rookie.
Yeah.
And I'll give you this factoid, and it's not even about a rookie quarterback. There's only three quarterbacks in the league that have ever led the league in passing yards per game and touchdown-to-interception ratio in the same season. Three guys, Tom Brady, Joe Montana, and C.J. Stroud. And C.J. Stroud did it in his rookie season.
Yeah.
So what C.J. Stroud did in Houston is an anomaly. Maybe he is going to regress a little bit in 2024. I don't know. Or maybe he's just going to build on a great season and become one of the next big, you know, exciting players in the National Football League or maintain his level and continue to climb. My expectation isn't that Caleb Williams is going to come out and have that kind of year because it doesn't happen a lot, but I expect him to be more good than bad for sure. My bar is set much higher for him than it was for Justin Fields in his rookie year.
And a lot of it is because of the infrastructure that's in place. That is why, listen, he's not going to go out and be the best quarterback in the league right out of the gates.
No.
He probably won't even be in the top 10. But if he can, you want to improve upon what you had last year.
What you want first and foremost is it to be better than what we've had the last 3 years.
Exactly.
And if it's better than what we've had the last 3 years, then you've taken a huge step in the right direction.
Now listen, I would say, barring injury, he should win Rookie of the Year.
Well, if that's your expectation level, then yes.
I don't think that's a tall ask. for him.
I don't think it's I don't think it's an outrageous expectation
at
all.
He's going to be the favorite, albeit in a
he's going to have a nice set of you know weapons mm-hmm. around him in the offensive huddle.
Listen, he's going to be the favorite for the award on the betting odds.
Yes.
Even though it's a draft where the first seven picks are probably all going to be offense?
Yes.
Despite all of that, I would still have the expectation that he is going to have the best rookie season.
And I think
and a lot of it is circumstance.
Yes, and I think that I think most people are going to have a high expectation level. I'm not going to have it at an unusually high level. I'm not going to put it somewhere where you know it's irrational or unreasonable. But he has more to work with than most guys who are drafted first overall, and certainly he has more to work with than Justin did as a rookie, so my expectation level is going to be higher.
And that's just not a that's not a Caleb Williams thing. I would say
that would be if it was Jaden Daniels, if it was J.J. McCarthy, Drake May. Whoever is walking into this environment is going to find themselves in a pretty smooth setup. As a rookie quarterback.
No doubt about that. All right, when we come back, Chuck's in charge. Charlie's got the C-list next on Waddle and Sylvie.
The afternoon drive is easier with Waddle and Sylvie. Chill out. They're coming right back. ESPN Chicago.